Hello and welcome to LedgerCast. My name's Brian Krogsgaard, here with Josh Ulswich and Johnny Moe. Josh, hey.
Two J's.
Got two J's. Two of my oldest friends in crypto. Johnny, how's it going, buddy?
Going good.
You got mad at me because I said something inaccurate. So I said, well, just get on here and say things that are accurate, and that problem solved. So Johnny, the chat doesn't all, they don't all know you, but we've known each other since 2017. You were on the show once in 2018, I believe. You and I and Josh are in some chats together. We talk markets all the time. You and Josh probably agree on current market sentiment. You've been a dollar maxi for quite a while. That's the intro for people. You're an active swing trader. Is that the right way to put it?
Yeah, intraday to swing.
Start out
on the intraday and see if it turns into a swing.
Oh, okay. So you don't have set targets. You're just like, I'll just think about it. See how it goes.
Yeah, every situation is a little different.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here. You know what? Before we get in to the rest of the show, I need to tell you, this episode is brought to you by Token Sets. All you got to do, go to LedgerStatus.com/sets. That's it. /sets. And simplified asset management, battle tested asset management tools. They have long tokens so that you can go 2x on ETH or BTC even that are traded on Token Sets. The FLI and the BTC ones, also called FLI, you can find them on there when you go search. You can also buy the DeFi Pulse Index if that's your choice. There's lots of strategies that you can choose from. Very, very smart team. Great product. If you want to simplify the way that you do your trading,
go to LedgerStatus.com/sets. You said long, that you didn't say short.
Yeah, I don't think they have short versions of them yet. They must be long only maxis.
There's an inverse DAO.
Is there an inverse?
I don't know what that is, but the plan was to on-chain short everything via SNX, but then SNX shut off those vehicles, and SNX, the platform, is having issues because it's single collateral synthetics, whatever. The whole thing's a giant mess, hence the chart on SNX being doo-doo.
I bought some. I bought the dump on it. I'm basically just fading the fact that it's being priced to die now.
I just want everybody to know that I don't take pleasure in being bearish. I want everything to go up forever. But here's the reality, folks. Things don't look great, you know, until we're not even above low time frame anything. We tried 2 times now to get above low time frame stuff, and it just hasn't happened.
Yeah. Josh, when was the last time we talked?
We talked last week.
Last week's the one we didn't publish because my internet was so bad.
People got chirpy at me for being so depressing. So I'm going to be cheery.
Cheery, but still bearish.
Correct.
Yeah.
Josh, I like that disclaimer, though, because I'm in the same boat. You know, I want to be as bullish as the next guy, but I also can't completely ignore the chart that's in front of me.
Yeah, and the chart that's in front of you right now is a bearish Bitcoin pitchfork, which there's now 2/3 of this call are pitchfork fans, so that's unfortunate for me.
what is wrong with the pitchfork? The pitchfork is great.
Nothing.
It's just the trend channel. Like, who cares? Whatever.
Yeah, it's just the anchoring. Although this one's actually fairly clean, other than the massive pushing out of it on the bottom there. But nevertheless, this does highlight that the pitchfork is kind of intact. The downward trend is certainly intact. What do we need to do to convince you that we might go higher? 36, make a higher high, get across a cloud, one of these mid-time frame clouds?
Yeah, so because the cloud's dynamic, you know, we can be basically at 35.5 July 13th and be fine. But that's definitely an if this then that situation. Mm-hmm. Right now we're just cruising this thing till we're not, right? Like, we tried this edge to edge, failed. We tried this breakout. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Like, I longed this on Enzyme. I was longing this everywhere. It failed. We W'd here. This looks like that failed. We tried to break out of the pitchfork. That failed, right? We went into this cloud notch, didn't go any further. So we just wait, right? Just waiting.
Yeah. Johnny, what are your thoughts on the mid time frames? What's going to get you bullish? I ask him questions when he's muted. Probably talking to his family. Dog.
I'm new to this. You got to bear with me here. I think if we get back up above that 36.5, that's like the key level to me. Get above the 36.5, it comes back down and retests it and holds it. That's the all important level for me, which is also kind of the mid range of this range we've been in since the big drop.
And the crab, as I guess Don codenamed it.
That's right. Awesome. And the last couple of days of PA here have put in that kind of swing high right there as well. So now that's a really easy level for everyone to play.
If
we can get back above it.
Virtually every chart has this TK disequilibrium still. Some charts look better than others. Where it has like this 50% upside swing. BTC, not so much. BTC is 25, but alts have, excuse me, have like this 50% upside. Uni, Sushi, all of them. But it has to like attempt something first. But that's the trade for me. It's like, if you want to go long, cool, okay. Your stop loss is lower lows, and your target is this Kijun on the daily on everything. It's a pretty simple setup, which for BTC would be 44. For alts, it's 50% higher than wherever prices are currently.
Normally, you like that trade, Josh, but you need the confirmation, I guess, that it's going to cross over before you're willing to play it the rest of the range.
Right, like... In order to cheat the daily, you can look at the lower time frames. Sometimes it's the 4, 6, 8, 12. Right now it's the 8, right? Like, the 8 is clearly leading or telling you, like, this, we're not ready yet, you know? Mm. So when this crosses the 8-hour cloud, it's going to cross this daily Tenkan level.
Do y'all,
at the same time.
What is that target on that one? About 44, but there's a resistance to the cloud around 41. That gets you back, if you're just looking at, you know, levels and stuff. Gets you basically back to the high above that. So you're really only looking for maybe a 10% move there. If you clear 36 and make your way to 40, that's kind of your miniature swing trade. Is that basically how you view the opportunity there, Johnny? Or Josh first, while Johnny unmutes?
Yeah, so what? It's, you know, this is a 30% move to the upside, right?
That's if you get to the top side of it. But if you just get to the edge of the cloud, not to the Kijun, then you're more like 40K, which is also the daily closing high. 200-day moving average is around 43, which aligns with your Kijun. So that's kind of the secondary target, I guess.
Yeah. And the longer we stay sideways, the higher the probability that we mean revert. And you can see an example of this right here. It's very similar. Situation.
Johnny, what are your targets if you're going to make that trade?
Yeah, I'd take a peek at the cloud every once in a while, but I don't use it actively like Josh does. But it's pretty interesting. It's interesting how that lines up with the 50 and 200 SMAs right now. You've got the 50 diving down. So every day we go forward, the 50 gets a little bit lower. It's at 37.1 right now. Mm-hmm. So it kind of lines up, you know, another day or two, and it'll be lining up right with that same 36.5 swing high we've got right now. And if we get above that level and you start looking at the underside of the 200, the 200's right at 44 right now.
Dude, that 50 day is like vertical down. Right. It is. Johnny, I don't know if you have Twitch open at the same time, but it's the only way you'll see my charts easily. Man, that thing is like vertical levels down. It is severe. Jeez. We have to have some kind of like tough, like retrace, get bears out of their trades in my mind.
A lot of charts on the alts, Wi-Fi comes to mind specifically, has this just super aggressive aggro diag to the downside.
Yeah. Meanwhile, one of the things that I can't get my eyes off on ETH is the recovery of the 200 day and a pinch between the 20 and the 200. And, you know, I don't normally look at the 50 as much as you do, Johnny. These are all subjective, so people can look at whatever they want. But I like to trade the 200 across all markets as kind of my, you know, signature of health. The fact that ETH is maintaining it, even though Bitcoin like is very firmly under it. Bitcoin looks a lot like the, you know, the rejections in 2018 off of its moving averages. So I do think Bitcoin looks like very clearly, if it moves up, it kind of, it doesn't feel like a new bull market type of move. It feels like a squeeze the shorts type of move. Whereas ETH, I don't know, like it's still above 200. It still seems, it just seems better for reversal to me. Are you looking at any of these differently, Johnny? I mean, obviously, if ETH is going to move significantly, it needs BTC strength with it.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the big difference between ETH and BTC for me right now is when ETH came down and tested the lows, it held the low. BTC broke that low and then kind of snapped right back up again real quick.
Yeah.
But I think maybe, and Josh, let me know what you think about this, and Brian, you too, but maybe you could force starting to be able to force a descending triangle in on the ETH daily with that flat bottom.
Yep. I think that if you're going to make the ETH case, that's the best one to make, is that it's got a potential triangle. Let me see if I can draw something. I probably have too many lines on my chart. I have a lot. That's okay. Yeah, so if you go down something like that, and then you just...
Yeah. The only bullish thing I can see for ETH again is that daily TK disequilibrium. For ETH, that would be 3K.
I think, Johnny, what I don't like is whether you call... I don't know. I don't care what you call it, but, you know, you have equal lows on ETH, except for the highs keep getting rejected on lower highs. So that is what ends up turning into some kind of, you know, descending triangle, but it just... it's, I don't like equal lows. I never do. Usually,
yeah.
Is 1559 going to be a sell the news?
It's a fundamentally different thing. If it starts burning ETH, then no, I don't think so. Because it's like the halving. You know, like there's literally less inflation. So,
what if fees are zero? Is it going to matter?
Yeah. Like I think what could make it bearish, but I don't think it's priced in at all right now. Like I don't think 1559 is priced in. It was priced in better at 4K, obviously.
People disagree with you in the chat.
Yeah, that's fine. But if the I don't, the chat's dumb, so nothing. No offense, chat.
Wow.
Not the chat, the crowd. The chat is smart. Our chat is very smart. The crowd is dumb. My personal bet is that it's not priced in.
I think here's what people like misinterpret about having as well. They think it's going to get immediately priced in. These things take time. So the longer post EIP 1559 we are, the more bullish you can get, because the more of an effect it starts to have, it starts to get accumulated, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to just magically be bullish the moment that thing hits the network, you know?
It's
not going to break the larger market trend. So if crypto markets are down, EIP 1559 is not going to make ETH disconnect from everything else and go to the moon.
100%.
It could, if it's not priced in fully, it could mean that once crypto does bottom, that ETH starts to look more bullish sooner than anything else. But it's not going to make ETH disconnect from a giant crypto downtrend.
I agree. Go ahead, Brian. What were you going to say?
If the expectations are not met by what 1559 is supposed to accomplish, that could be bearish. So like if people are modeling that 50 to 80% of current inflation will be eliminated from 1559, and then it's like 5 or 10%, then sure, maybe it becomes bearish. But I think that if inflation really does get cut significantly, it is not a sell the news event, because it's an actual, policy change to the economics of, or tokenomics of Ethereum, and less and less Ethereum is hitting the market than it was before, therefore easier to absorb, therefore number go up.
Right, but that only matters if demand is equal or higher than
people
previously.
People say the same thing with the Bitcoin halving. It's like the...
It's true. It's not true.
Yeah, but it historically has always led to the number going up because there was demand for that Bitcoin. And this is larger than a Bitcoin halving in terms of the modeling that exists today, right? So that's why I personally think that it is not a great candidate at least for a sell the news event.
Okay. I was going to say for ETH.
As Lucky says in the chat, if it's hyped too much, then temporarily could sell the news. That's possible. I agree with that. That is possible. A temporary, like, oh, it just went live. We dumped for like a day or two. And then you're like, oh, crap, this thing's burning this much ETH every day. And then off you go. Like, sure. But that's not the same as that's not a sell the news type of movement. That's just like a, you know, event driven up and down type of garbage. Like when the Fed speaks and it goes 3% both ways on the S&P, you know?
Sure. I mean, I just see the ETH maxis clinging to this thinking like this is going to save them. But as Johnny said, it's, if the whole market is bearish, there's not one thing that's going to be like, okay, this is fine. Right. On technicals for ETH, the same trade that exists on BTC exists there with the TK disequilibrium to 3K, just in case that wasn't already clear based on what I said. So it's not like we're all doom and gloom here. It is a bit oversold in general, but I got to see strength on, like, again, the 8-hour cloud on ETH, which still is just leading everything, you know, until ETH is above 2,300, which is basically a new higher high. I like 23 to 3K. That's a great trade. But until that time, it's just going to bounce around.
I think that's fair. I can't be a seller here, personally. It just,
what if we get lower lows? What do you do?
If we lose the 200 on ETH, I'll have to reconsider. But
sure.
That's at 1950 or so right now. And then, yeah, I guess on BTC... If we make a new daily low, that's 32. So from a range perspective, I doubt the yearly open would hold, which was what held last time in the 28s. So if Bitcoin got below 31.5, which is less than 10% down from here, then to me, the next place where I think there'd be considerable demand is like 24. I think there'd be a lot of buying, front running prior all-time highs type stuff. Honestly, if we get back to 20K, that's extremely bearish to me because the prior all-time high was 20K, and that didn't even occur in the entirety of the last bull market. You know, we went to 20K and we never got below 3,100. In fact, I was talking to Johnny back then, like expressing why I didn't think it was going to go to 1,800 or 1,300 or whatever, and it looked very bearish then. This is not the same as that, but it's, you know what? Do you remember that, Johnny? It's like people just begging it to go another 50%, but it's down a considerable amount already, and I just don't think it's going to get to people's expectations.
Yeah, that's fair, but I mean, what's, you know, there's that adage about, I don't know the math off the top of my head, but what's a, you know, a minus 70% to a minus 80%? It's a lot of percent. Or a minus 70% to a minus 90%. It's not an extra 20. It's a lot.
Right. To 24 would be about 60 something percent, maybe 65% if you go like wick to 24.
So what are we at right now? We're at the
right this moment off the top, we're at 48% and the lows were 56%.
You're on Bitcoin.
Yeah, on Bitcoin. And then to get to 66% would be about 21.6. To me, that could be the entire bear market, if you will. I personally don't expect Bitcoin I don't know what my response would be at like 20K. Like, can you really be out below 20K because it broke the prior all-time high and look for 14? You know, like, that's very...
I mean, if we break lows, everyone's going to be looking at 10 to 12. I don't think 20 is even going to hold, honestly. Because they're looking at this head and shoulders thing that isn't perfect, right? It's ugly, gross, but people are looking at it. And if people see what they want to see, you know, that's what they're going to see. And the other part about this is the we talked about this last time, but the 2-year MA multiplier is all the way down at 19. So I think anything below 19 is fine. But I think ultimately we try to wick down to like 10 if we do break lows.
Wow. If we break current lows, like the yearly
right.
open lows.
Yeah. Like if we break 29, I think it's going to get super ugly.
Right. So are you just all in at 12K? Right, like 11.5.
I mean, I started to get all in at 19. So,
yeah. So you just sure. Bag hold for minus 50%. Meanwhile, people off the top, what's that percentage? Like, if we got all the way to 12, y'all are depressing me. All the way to 12 would be an 82% decline to 11.6 or so. 80 plus which percent.
Full Wyckoff round trip, right? At that point, if we get down there,
that's complete. Complete bear. 80% to the 200-week moving average if we went to the 200-week like today. The only way I see that happening is like legacy just melts down, like, which is possible, I guess. I'm not saying there's a zero chance. I feel like there's demand for Bitcoin well before that.
I mean, I'd hope so, but the VIX is declining. We're not doing anything. DXY is still pulling up. Stocks are making all-time highs. Like, we're not doing anything. The correlations that should matter don't matter. And that's really problematic, I think, for us right up here. I keep staring at this because it's on-chain realized, unrealized profit or relative unrealized. And historically, bottoms have been when we are kind of neutral on this. And we're still people a lot of
profit.
Yeah, there's still a lot of unrealized profit up here.
Yeah, including, like, I have not spent a ton of time on the sidelines. Like, I've gone on the sidelines for tactical events, but I've not spent a ton of time on the sidelines. And I'm still up a ton on the year. So I'm a perfect example of that case, right?
Yeah, so for me, like, again, to be sure that the bottom is in, like, this, we're down whatever percent from the top, blah, blah, blah. But, like, this historically has been pretty good if we're looking for something.
You know? For, like, a full-on bear. Back in 2017, here's part of my thing. Even if we're not at the bottom, right, it feels like we are at least due for mid-time frame bounces. Like, we're, like, in the 40Ks, or can we just... turbo nuke, right? In 2018 we went and bounced quite a lot when we were in this range, you know, like, and spent a long time before we went down into the capitulation ranges. I agree. I actually like this chart, realized unrealized profit and loss. What website is this?
Lookintobitcoin.com.
okay, right there on the source. Yeah, so
Bitcoin.com.
That does make sense. You get into the green and it's like, that's capitulation.
We should mean revert, I agree, but we're not seeing evidence of that yet. So it's hard, like, the down is the de facto direction until something happens, you know? That's why it's hard to just say, like, yeah, we're going to hope that this keeps making higher highs when it just can't hold anything, can't hold any high whatsoever. It even patterned out and couldn't hold that, you know? I don't know. It's hard for me.
Incredible chart, Josh. That just bolstered my bear bias.
Which one?
I had never seen that before.
The in profit one.
Yeah.
Do they have it for Ethereum?
They don't, but I'm sure another website has it for Ethereum. Ethereum's harder to track with the on-chain stuff, as you might be aware. the other Ethereum bear case is back to this median line. Speaking of pitchforks that you don't like. That you know, that's not an impossibility.
Yeah,
just gonna throw that out there.
Legacy is ending the week with a pretty significant pump, and really looks like it's. I mean, I don't even know what to call it. It's alongside, however, the dollar absolutely tanking today. It looked like it was going to new highs, went as high as 92.76, and it's down to 92.22, and it's right back to kind of key levels from its August 2020 lows, which was where it capitulated down from into the 89s. I can't decide if I think this is like bullish, like kind of retest consolidation stuff. I feel like the dollar could just go sideways a good bit and still be showing kind of some relative strength off its lows.
That was based on jobs numbers, right?
Yeah, probably so. Market pumped pretty hard.
There's some NFP thing.
Yeah, there are 850,000 jobs added with like 700,000 expected, something like that. And like, look at the queues, man. It looks like a blow off top.
Yeah, Google hit an all time high today.
Yeah.
I was going to say about legacy too is like another correlation that isn't really holding that should is the MSTR chart, which has pulled up pretty considerably relative to BTC. Like this is making higher highs, but BTC is not. Coin is making higher highs, but BTC is not. And that's problematic too.
Is it problematic or is it indicative that Bitcoin's due for a bounce?
I would hope that this would lead BTC to the upside. So like if you're looking for bull cases, you're looking at this thinking, okay, it's due, it's time. Like, why aren't we moving up? But I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's indicative that it's due for a bounce.
Like Coin, I don't know what it was at today, but it's down from the breakout, but it broke up, right? So
our lumber ETH correlation, which is fun, has been fun to watch. Lumber broke all the way back to its 2020 and January 2021 levels, like those two highs before it consolidated and mooned. Had two up days in a row now. It looks stunningly similar to the ETH chart and looks to me like it bottomed. I don't know. Several of these things indicate to me that it would at least not be a surprise if crypto moved up temporarily, you know?
Right. I 100% agree, but I'm just not seeing it yet. You know, like until it happens, you could even try to call that a falling wedge or something, but
or there's like,
it looks like it
the
should.
4-hour kind of Wyckoffian concept.
Yeah, it looks like it should, but it just isn't, you know? It just,
whereas the demand's just not showing up.
No,
there
it's
are
just not.
Several fundamental reasons at play that people have started to give some credit for these things. Continued China crackdown, hash rate getting obliterated. I think you're pulling that up now.
Yeah, the difficulty, -27%. That's wow. Percent. That's the single largest decline in an adjustment ever.
It's incredible.
I looked at this the other day. Doge hash rate for script ASICs are down whatever percentage that is, probably 50% from the top. So part of this is price, part of this is China removing hash rate. It looks to me like most of this is China because it happened so quickly in the last like couple days, whereas Doge price kind of pulled back way before this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when was the last time there was a difficulty adjustment down to 27%? Do you have a history?
There hasn't been. That's the largest like we ever. Can look at ever.
And that's 27% from all-time high hash rates. So like from in a nominal sense, like the decrease in hash rate is more than like hash rate ever was prior to 2017. You know, like it's crazy.
Yeah, hash rate's always a guess anyway, for the most part. Like we can, the true measure is difficulty. But yeah, hash rate's down like 60-70% from highs. Yeah, there's never been, you know, you can scroll this entire list. There's never been a drawdown that large in hash rate.
Fundamentally, though, this does likely decentralize mining. Is that hoping?
It at least gives U.S. miners a fighting chance, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like this makes things significantly more interesting for a U.S. miner, Canadian miner.
I mean, I like China not being involved, but China disappearing is problematic for decentralization as well. Like, you need everybody at the table, ideally, right? We're still seeing Chinese proof of stake stuff that hasn't been touched yet. So that's only a matter of time when that's going to pull through. I don't think they're going to stop at proof of work and say, like, it's because of electricity. They're going to just keep going.
Yeah.
Tezos is vulnerable. EOS is vulnerable. ETH will eventually be vulnerable to that.
Guopa says it's long-term bullish. All the strength BTC is showing with the difficulty and hash rate is good. That said, the block times are like insane, or were insane, like 120 minutes or something on some of them. While that it was still very, the difficulty was still very high, but the hash rate was way down. It took a long time to find those blocks for a bit.
If we're sideways, it's like, it's whatever. It's not that big of a deal. The bigger problem is if we're dumping, like if we start to dump and difficulty still hasn't adjusted yet, then you see just rolling liquidations of, of people panicking.
Yeah. The other fundamental news that's out there is tons of what looks like potentially coordinated restrictions being applied to Binance from multiple countries, Thailand, the UK. I don't remember what other ones, but like several.
Singapore came out yesterday.
Yeah, several countries throwing out kind of different stuff, but like just in total seems like coordinated pressure on Binance.
Cayman Islands too, yeah.
Cayman Islands, yeah. I found that interesting because, you know, is it, hey, the train has left the station, so everyone's just kind of jumping on it now, or is this actually coordinated behind the scenes? And if it is being coordinated behind the scenes,
who's coordinating it?
The conspiracy theorist in me can't help but think that the U.S. has got to be involved.
Yeah.
Well, they lost Silvergate, their bank, USD, a few days ago, like 2 weeks ago. They lost UK deposits like yesterday. Yeah. And before all of this, they're always on the list. When you see Hamas or when you see like the ransomware stuff go through, Binance is always on the list as far as who's like allowing this stuff to happen. So eventually they've just pissed off too many people.
Another good one from Guopa, who reminded me, I don't know how to pronounce your name, buddy, reminded me something that Sam said, that sometimes like a lot of these, you know, bearish fundamental crackdown type of news happen as the price goes down, because, you know, people are less interested and it's easier for these governments to kind of pile on with the news, as the like retail interest is waning. I don't know if that is clear or not. It's something that Sam talked about.
I think there's less regulatory interest in cracking down on these guys when people are making money. And then once investors start to lose money because prices are coming down, then they start feeling like, oh, we have to protect people. The prices are coming down.
Right.
But plus, it's always generally lagging because it takes time for eyeballs to reach this stuff, like pancake rugs and stuff like that. But I think BNB is like the best short setup in crypto right now, even better than BTC, ETH. You know, all this stuff's going to move together if it moves. But if
Binance gets that regulatory crackdown, then it's a big...
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, like you can't ask for a better setup than every country in the world going after Binance.
Yeah. That would be interesting. I don't know if Binance has made a lot of responses to it yet.
If you look at the pancake swap numbers too, those are all down significantly. So there just isn't a lot of reasons to be
fundamental. That's the fundamental use case for BNB, right? Utility.
And Binance had one of the most absurd, or BNB, I should say, had one of the most absurd run-ups this year. It was, I mean, remember before this bull market started, it was like less than $50. It went up to $700 at one point.
Yeah, and their last quarterly burn, they burned more than they'd ever burned in all previous quarters combined. Combined.
Wow.
So they made a ton of money on all that. But yeah, I think this... technicals on your side here to be mega short BNB. I just don't know where you can actually do it as an American.
Can we talk about relative strength? Give people a little bit of hopium here. I don't know if y'all have been watching this, but Compound had an announcement about enabling institutions to get 4% interest on deposits, just as a flat interest. And it's been going up ever since. It's at 355. The bottoms were below 200. And it's on a relative strength basis, extremely strong off of the lows, both against Bitcoin and Ethereum. Have y'all been paying attention to comp or any DeFi stuff?
Yeah, DeFi had that W like everything else, and comp definitely overperformed thanks to that news, I think.
Yeah, it just seems like there's a very strong bid on comp relative to other stuff.
Yeah, stuff like Uni basically looks like ETH and BTC, where it tried to break out, failed. But yeah, comp looks fine. I said this, I don't know when, maybe 2 weeks ago, but Balancer still looks like it's bad enough to buy. It's retraced the entire thing since January.
This is subtle, but this looks like a fast moving average flip as well, which I usually like as some kind of trigger, like off the bottom, slight retrace, and then, you know, bounce off the fast moving average. I might buy some Balancer. I don't understand Balancer, though. Like, I don't know who uses it. But it's... I like when stuff shows strength and then it's got a long way to go to, like, kind of the next key moving average. This would be an 80% move from current price to the 200-day. Not that I'd think the 200-day is where I'd be able to hold it to. And it's a 270% move to the prior all-time high. Like, that's pretty insane. So even a modest continuation of this bounce could be 25% plus, just to get rejected off of where it broke down from previously at 25. That tends to give me the type of entry opportunity that I look for when I'm being bullish while my friends are being bearish, and I'm just looking for like some kind of relative strength. What can outperform if things are going to turn around? And when I sit here and look through my watch list and I see like the only things that are green and mostly red, those end up being the coins that I want to pay attention to as the market does start to change its mind. Another one that I've had my eye on is this Keep token, which I don't even really know much about it, but it went down only ever since it got listed on Binance and Coinbase. But it looks like it's trying to bottom. It looks like there's a lack of willingness for it to go below 25 cents. So it's another one where I feel like it might have an opportunity to outperform. And these are the type of trades that I try to go be bullish on this type of stuff if possible. And then if the market doesn't die, they have some kind of upside optionality. Do y'all think I'm crazy for that strategy?
No, I don't think you're crazy. You have, well, if you're not shorting DeFi, you have to look for stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
I think Link's in trouble. I think Aave's in trouble on technicals. These are out of their ranges, and then some are below the 200-day moving averages. Like, this is not historically what these coins have done over the past couple of years. So yeah, don't, you know, I wish it were, wish I had more bullish things to say about both of those. But
Johnny, do you have even the slightest amount of interest in buying anything other than Bitcoin or ETH as things turn around, if they turn around?
Yes and no. If you're, you know, if you've got a DeFi wallet and you're not trading on an exchange, you're not shorting, I understand what you were just saying, you know, trying to find things like Bal or Keep or Comp that you can jump into on a dead cat to try and get something out of this market. Mm-hmm. I trade both directions, you know, I'm able to short. So I think it makes me a little less eager to go try and find things that might bounce, because I'm a little more complacent to just let it go down, frankly.
Yeah. But that's based on essentially you don't care about being in dollars is fine. Like, your relative, how much Bitcoin do I have or whatever, is not as important as saying, let's maintain my cash buying power for the foreseeable future.
Yes, absolutely. I would rather, you know, slow play this here. You know, this ledger, I got burned trying to play the bounce a little too fast. I got a really big winner on the big crash back in May, and then trying to move too fast on the move back to the upside, I gave some back to Mr. Market. I paid my market taxes. So
yeah.
I'm trying to, you know, slow play this, slow it down. I don't think there needs to be any rush that people are going to miss out if they don't snipe this bottom. I think you've got some time to let this sort itself out.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got 3 months to figure out what you're going to do.
Yikes.
Q3 has never been great, specifically September, which has always been terrible. And October through December has always been great. So, again, that's the easier trade, just to do nothing. Let it do its thing. People were asking about ETH BTC. I don't really have any comment one way or the other here.
I think it looks okay.
Still looks untradeable to me.
Kind of a flaggy consolidation, something. I don't know. I don't know that the upside on ETH BTC would be so extreme, or if people would use that upside to take profit. You know, I'm not sure.
I've got thoughts, and that's that. You know, I think there's a. I can't remember if it was Chris Bernisky that came out with this, and I might be misquoting him. It might have been somebody else, but there's a concept that a number of these altcoins over time, these alt B2C pairs, will turn into looking like an oscillator, like an RSI or a stochastic, and you're going to just see it range up and down against B2C. And I'm kind of wondering if that's what we're seeing right now on ETH B2C. We got to the top
0.08 to 0.04 yeah, exactly. Forever.
Right, until one day Doge just, one of the richest men in the world decided he likes Doge, and everyone pissed off. But I wonder if that's what we're seeing right now on ETH, is that, you know, is it starting to go into oscillator mode, and we got to the top of the range, and it's going to come back down. I think the flaw in this, in that idea, is that it probably works better from a market cap perspective. These all have different supply schedules, so that's going to impact price pretty greatly. And the ETH B2C pair is based on price, not market cap.
No, I think but that's I think fair.
General, the oscillator idea has something there.
One other thing I don't love about ETH BTC is, you know, that 0.055 was my magnet forever. Broke through it, went all the way to 0.084 almost, which was my target. That almost is a key element of how I ended up not selling my ETH, what I should have. Although it had a clear complacency top here, you know, in hindsight. Anyways, retested 0.055. But then what I don't love is when it retests it again, and it's like this double retest before it goes back up. So now it just feels like trash price action to me when I look at it in only this four-hour context. You know, it just looks like this kind of sideways dumpster fire between 0.05 and 0.08, and I have no idea which way to expect it to go. And this is the type of thing that maybe it turns into some kind of flag, or maybe this is another good candidate for your kind of descending triangle, or, you know, lower highs type of continuous topping before it really gets beat up. So that's your bear case. 1559 sucks is you just keep making these lower highs, and then, you know, you go droop down back to the 200-week moving average, back to like 0.04 or something like that.
Yeah, you can kind of start to see that same descending triangle you saw on ETHUSD on the ETH B2C chart.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for people to remember that these patterns have biases. So, you know, a descending trial has a downward bias, but that doesn't mean it can't break up. It can certainly break up, and that doesn't mean that the pattern didn't exist. But, you know, they break a descending trial breaks down the majority of the time, but there's still a minority of the time that it breaks up. So it's important to keep in mind that just because the pattern exists doesn't mean it's going to complete in the direction you think it will. It's just indicative of consolidation.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. I don't know what to expect from that. I know I've been a little less convicted on ETH being dominantly outperforming. I'm still trading both of them. But I'm just kind of low time frame on everything, to be honest, because I don't want to get nuked either. You know, like, it's not like I'm just going to like sit on my hands if everything dies. Like, if I really feel like things are on their way for a significant move further down, I can get out of the market. It's not like I can't react. I just feel like the direction we need to test back is in the 40Ks. I don't know. It's just some kind of personal madman conviction. Maybe I'm a dummy about that, but this seems like we need to do some price filling up in this area to me, because that'll make it a lot harder for people who are short to maintain their positioning there, and it will give people who are currently long the liquidity that they want to get out. At some point, those things happen, even in bear markets.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that play we were talking about earlier, if you get over 36.5, there's a lot of things saying, you know, we're pretty clear to around 44, but that's a big if. We got to get over 36.5 first.
Yeah. Right. It reminds me a lot of April 2018. You remember that? Where we went to 5,900 or something in February, like the huge capitulation off the top. Had a huge bounce, which I guess was more expected. And then it went and made almost equal lows, consolidated for a couple of weeks down there, and then just like chatted up before it went and got rejected off the 200-day moving average. And Josh, this might have been when you and I were together, and there was an ETF rejection. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think that wasn't that July?
Was that July? Or... Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is that
it was here, but it was the same concept, right? It was like,
yeah,
you know, off the bounce, and then you're sitting at these long term time frames, and bearish news comes in and nukes the hopium, and down you go, and that's what creates these lower highs and yada yada. However, like people shorted the crap out of these when they were down here at the prior lows, 6K recover, 6K recover, 6K recover. It just happened that the results were weaker and weaker. Even if we're in a scenario like this, that's kind of why I come at it with this attitude. It's like, I'd rather take the risk that it's going to get back up here and then reject than try to like short it from down here where it just seems ripe to squeeze me out before it makes the inevitable move. So like, I could see that, you know, I could see that happening.
Yeah, that's the play right there.
Yeah.
Right now, do nothing. Long 36.5 to 44. Short 44 back to at least 30, I'd guess.
Yeah. And how many times can it play that range, you know? Like,
yeah.
And then if it gets over the 200-day, then that might be a significant trend shift in like your long-term consolidation for the course of the year, and maybe it's a super cycle. I don't know.
BFX BTC longs are still at all-time highs. So again, it's hard for me to see that and think, yeah, this is the bottom. You know, you don't make bottoms with open interest longs at all-time highs typically, because there's just too much to squeeze here.
Wait, I see what you mean. It can go lower if that's where the longs are.
It's a ripe avocado, you know, it's ready to be eaten today.
50,000 BTC. Which is quite a lot, especially for an exchange that doesn't have a ton of volume, you know?
Yeah, and they'll get more volume if Binance actually gets cut off from the world.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So, yeah. Pushing like 2 billion, a little under 2 billion notional right now.
Yeah, that's substantial for sure.
For an exchange that is that size, absolutely.
Yeah, it's still where the whales like to swim. All right. Is there any other chart that y'all are interested in?
Not really.
You guys just look at the big stuff, don't you?
I think, should we take a look at Doge?
Oh yeah. Let's take a look at Doge.
I mean, this DeFi perp, I look at this every day and it's still like, we talked about Bell and Comp, but collectively DeFi just isn't it right now. I don't think.
Yeah, and I think
Death Cross on the daily.
I find that interesting because it's like it's not universal. In some ways, that's kind of good, right? Like if everything's going up, then there's just no reason to trade anything based on a fundamental. So I kind of like it that like maybe Comp can go up while other stuff doesn't. Anyway, Doge looks like absolute freaking garbage, Johnny. It looks like it's doing the inverse of the 5-cent move, right?
It's so beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Good. Needs to go down.
That diagonal, I know, you know, a lot of people, you know, people love and hate diagonals, but that diagonal is too perfect. When the diagonals are that perfect, I find it really hard to ignore them. Even if you are a person, if you're a horizontal maximalist, you got to admit that diagonal exists. It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
And we're bouncing off it right now. You're starting to curl. You know, you got that rounding top. We're rounding over again. If it breaks to the upside of that diagonal, all bets are off. Who knows what that thing could do? But right now, you can't ignore it.
Yeah, it's hideous. Doge BTC is maybe the ugliest chart I've ever seen in my life.
Did you see the numbers for Robinhood on the Doge stats?
Yeah, so crypto was 17% of all of their revenue, and then Doge was 30-something percent of all crypto. So it was like Doge is like 10% or, yeah.
I think it was 6%.
6% of all
revenue. A little Robinhood under 6, revenue. Yeah.
Doge was 6% of all Robinhood revenue. That is stunning.
That is insane. Yeah. If you needed any further bubble things, and then there you go. Yeah.
Like, you don't even have to look at this chart. You can just say Doge is 725 sats. 100 sats was like the moon for the year.
You know? It was 10 at the bottom, right?
Yes. It was like 10 or 15. I don't know. It's hard to... Yeah, it was 11. I think it was 11.
I don't know if... TradingView has it. The Doge is still 31 billion market cap.
Yeah.
31 billion. No,
it was 15, Johnny. 15 sats. You could have bought it 15 sats. So if someone actually bought sub 20, which you had plenty of time to get filled if you were like a Doge maxi, then you are in enormous profit. You are currently in the most profitable trade of all assets in all the world all year. You can get out. Like, they have to be thinking they're going to sell, right? Like, surely. Or is the cult of Elon going to, are they going to just carry it all the way back, you know, sub 200, sub 100?
I don't know. All this stuff looks heavy to me.
I think this relative trade, I need to actually see if I can make this trade on FTX US, a relative trade of Doge BTC from 725 to even the 200-day moving average at 370 might be the easiest trade you can make if the borrow fees aren't too high. Like, this chart makes me sick. It's so bad. It's so bad.
This beautiful.
This is years of Bag Holders United. Like, something like
that. And Barry that. Sold the top.
Doesn't look great.
Barry short of the top.
Here's my approximate estimation of what Doge will do over the next year and a half. Something like that. Dump it.
I agree.
And that is... That is 6% of Robinhood revenue, a.k.a. like a bunch of people who are forever going to be scorned by crypto because they bought Doge because it was on SNL.
And you know what? At the same time, even if you can find a place to short these things, if you're outside the US, it's so difficult to short things like this because the volatility is so high. Doge just a few days ago had this June 23rd candle was plus 23%. You know,
you're at any margin, you're blown out. Like, if you're at 2X, you're down 40% of your capital.
Right. And you have to snipe a top because if one of these 23% candles goes against you, that's a problem. So, you know, if you're Barry Silver and you sell the exact top, you did it. But other than that, it's actually pretty difficult to short these things, even though the hindsight chart makes it look really easy.
Yeah. Josh, you have AMC open. It looks finished.
Yeah, hopefully all this meme stuff just gets washed out.
I messaged my good friend who's made a bunch of money on AMC, and he already took out his initial. Then I convinced him to take out some more, and today I was like, dude, dump it, get out. Let's just get out, take your winnings, go buy anything else. Anything else is a better trade than this, except for Doge.
Yeah. But I look forward to the day when Doge and Robinhood stock are correlated, because that's actually pretty funny.
Budoff is saying, dude, you're sour because 50 IQ out-traded you. They did for a while, but the 50 IQs lose. The 150 IQs that bought Doge at 20 sats or less and held onto it well beyond the 100 sat target, they outtraded me, and they will stay outtrade. Like, they can do all kinds of stuff and still be outtrading me with that type of percentage win. The 50,
yeah, unrealized.
The 50 IQs bought Doge at 400 sats, 500 sats, 600 sats, 700 sats, 1,000 sats, and they will lose.
The unrealized profit chart on Doge must be insane.
Yeah, none of it counts until you sell and withdraw, and it's in your account.
Yep. That's right. That's all I got. Everything looks toppy. Can't get bullish till it looks bullish. It's really that simple.
Can't get bullish till it looks bullish.
That's right.
I think this time next week, we will be talking from higher prices.
Okay. I hope so. I just don't see it yet.
To be fair, it's within the same tolerance of, like, it's a squeeze until it's proven to be a trend change, you know? So right, therefore it's down. Just liquidity for people to get out. That's what I'm saying.
You are counter trend trading right now.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're long.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's a mic drop. That's all I got.
That's all we got.
Johnny, what else you got, Johnny? He's muted. He has no idea what he's.
Just the absolute dead air.
I'm trying, guys. All right. I tweeted a week ago that we were going to be in the 20Ks this week. So I'm already way off on my timeline. But Ledger, I will see your higher next week, and I'll try one more time. I think we're into the 20Ks next week.
Next week, man. I'd be dancing in the streets.
That's how Johnny and I are best at life. Somehow we've both made a good bit of money in crypto, and yet we're like literally never on the same side of the trade. When we're on the same side of the trade, guaranteed L. Like, guaranteed L. If Johnny and I are both on the same side, it's game over. Thanks for being here, buddy. Follow Johnny at Johnny Mo Trades. Follow Josh at Carpe Noctum. Go to ledgerstatus.com/sets. Check out Token Sets, Simplified Asset Management, if you want to take it easy. Thanks for being here, y'all. Talk to you later.
Monuments crumble in the blink.
We'll have to stay on for an after show.
The easy river has just run dry.